Good afternoon. Here's the 12 noon edition of Late World News, compiled from the Associated Press and presented by the Kimball Tire Company at 283 Lower Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo. Carl Brindle reporting. And now today's headlines. Former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill has cut short a winter vacation and is flying home for what may be his last big political battle. Reports from Tokyo say the British Navy may break through the Chinese nationalist blockade of communist Shanghai. Six persons have died under mysterious circumstances in a fire in Harmon, Indiana. And the world's first robot elephant is ready to be unveiled. And now for the details of these and other stories. Former Prime Minister Winston Churchill cut short a tropical vacation today and flew home to lead the conservative fight in the coming British national election. Voting won't take place until February 23rd, but Churchill gave up the last 4 days of his winter vacation to get into the campaign. He had been vacationing on the sunny Portuguese island of Madeira, about 9.5 hours flying time from southern England. This may be the last big political battle of his lifetime. Now 75 years old and subject to bronchial trouble, Churchill will have to contend with failing health and the rigors of an outdoor speaking campaign in an English winter. Churchill and his Conservative Party aides plan a big campaign for the votes of the working people. Although it was the workers who put the Labour government in power, British wage earners have been growing restive lately under the government's wage freezing policy. There is a general fear that living costs may shoot upward as a result of the devaluation of the pound. Union leaders are voting on the issue today, whether or not to continue their support of the government freeze on wages in view of what has happened to the value of the pound. All of which may prove Churchill and his conservatives with an effective campaign issue. Campaign strategy and a vote-getting platform may be drawn up later in the day by Churchill and his so-called shadow cabinet. There are the men that he'd be likely to appoint ministers to the king if a conservative parliament is elected. From Tokyo comes unofficial word that the British are planning to send an armed convoy through the blockade set up by Chiang Kai-shek along the coast of Red China. This is the blockade of gunboats and other small craft which recently shot up the American cargo ship Flying Arrow, damaging her so badly she could not continue on to Shanghai. The vessel is now limping toward the Red Fort of Tsingtao, former United States Marine and Naval Base in North China. According to dispatches from Tokyo, the British are mobilizing a convoy which is to proceed from the British Crown Colony of Hong Kong through the nationalist blockade to communist-held Shanghai. The object would be to blast the sea lanes open and clear the way for British merchantmen to unload their cargoes in Shanghai, where the British have heavy financial interest. In London, however, there seems to be some doubt whether the British are ready to go quite that far to guarantee clear passage for their trading vessels. According to the British Admiralty, the Royal Navy will continue to protect British shipping in international waters off the China coast. But, says the Admiralty, the warships will not go beyond the 3-mile limit of Chinese territorial waters. The Japanese government said today that a Jap fishing traveler had been seized in international waters off Korea. Jap maritime officials said the traveler was machine-gunned by an unidentified ship, and then a boarding party of undetermined nationality climbed over the rail and took possession. In other Asiatic developments, Chinese nationalists are battling communist guerrilla forces on the island of Hainan, which, like Formosa, is one of the few spots where the nationalists maintain at least a pretense of political control. The central part of the island is dominated by red guerrillas, however, and nonpartisan observers say Hainan is ready to fall into the lap of the communists like a ripe plum. The western coastline of the Big Island is described as wide open to invasion. In other fighting just off the South China coast, the nationalists claim to have sunk 30 communist junks trying to invade the island of Wenchao. And foreigners close to the China scene are speculating on the reason for the prolonged visit of Red China's number one boss, Mao Tse-tung, in Moscow. In Hong Kong, the rumor is that Mao is not getting all the help from Russia that he'd like. He's been in Moscow nearly 1 month. It's being hinted around that if Stalin does not give him what he wants, he may turn to other quarters for assistance. To give you the safest thing on wheels, the Sarbling Rubber Company and the Kimball Tire Company at 283 Higuera Street announced the new Sarbling Safety Tire, with patented heat vents. Rows of heat vents at the shoulder of the tire breathe in cool air, expel hot air, the greatest safety principle ever developed in tires, and found only in Cyberling, America's safety tire. Its wider, flatter road-proven treads hug the highway, gives better non-skid stopping. Hundreds of sharp, scientifically spaced sawtooth edges bite through water and road film for safe, sure stops. And this safe tread is extra long-wearing, too. For safety and service, remember the Kimball Tire Company at 283 Hygera Street, your home-owned, home-operated Cyberling Safety Center. Back in the Asiatic scene, the Chinese naval blockade, the future of Formosa, and other questions relative to our policy in the Far East will be the subject of a talk today by Dean Acheson, the Secretary of State. Using a National Press Club luncheon as a forum, Acheson will get a chance to hit back at critics of his China policy. One of the most outspoken of these has been Ohio Senator Robert Taft, who charged yesterday that a leftist group in the American State Department had denied the rights of Congress by giving aid and comfort to the Chinese Reds. Taft said the State Department's Oriental policy has been guided by this leftist group. In his talk in Washington today at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Acheson is expected to reply to these and other charges. And here's a bulletin just handed me from Washington. The Justice Department has accused the Sun Oil Company of Philadelphia of violating the antitrust laws. It asserts the violations occurred in the sale and distribution of gasoline and automobile accessories. Attorney General McGrath says a civil action against Sun has been filed in federal court in Philadelphia. The firm makes Sunoco products. At Colombo, the capital of Ceylon, the foreign ministers of Britain, India, and the other Commonwealth states have turned their attention to the French-sponsored government of Indochina. The Commonwealth ministers have apparently reached the conclusion that Indochina must be a key factor in any plan to hold the line against communism in Southeast Asia. The Indian government of Prime Minister Nehru has announced the arrest of 2,500 communists for subversive activity against the state. That was the number in jail as of December 15th. It does not include 3,000 Reds who are under arrest in the princely state of Hyderabad. In Italy, the coalition government of Premier De Gasperi resigned today, thus paving the way for a new governmental lineup with De Gasperi still in control. French police have begun a new roundup of Polish citizens living in France. They have already deported some 40 Poles, most of them on spy charges. And the Communist High Command in eastern Germany is calling for an intensification of the purge now being directed at non-communist elements in that country. The Canadian government has high hopes for two uranium mines, which were recently discovered on the east shore of Lake Superior, about 55 miles north of Sault Ste. Marie. According to a Canadian government spokesman, the two finds on Lake Superior compare favorably with uranium deposits of northern Saskatchewan. The Lake Superior mines are expected to contribute heavily to Canada's atomic energy program. The Canadian Minister of the Mines said today, and I quote, "They appear to have excellent possibilities for commercial production." Don't ask for recapping, but stop at the Kimball Tire Company at 283 Hygera Street and insist on Cyberling Certified Thermowell Treading, the latest scientific treading development that adds thick new treads to worn tires. Thermowell is not ordinary recapping, but a scientific process of guaranteed treading that gives worn tires thousands of extra miles of safe, dependable service. Tires that are given the Thermowell treatment are balanced by Thermowell craftsmen to prevent excessive wear through shimmy and bounce. It's good assurance to ride in safe tires. Stop at the Kimball Tire Company at 283 Hygera Street today and have your tires treaded the Cyberling Certified Thermowell way. The Kimball Tire Company, your home-owned, home-operated Cyberling dealer. An English craftsman has invented something very big, and he expects the United States to be his best buyer. Inventor Frank Stewart has just unveiled the world's first robot elephant. It walks at 28 miles an hour, flaps its ears, and waves its trunk and can carry eight persons. This mechanical elephant is driven by a gasoline engine. but the monarch walks by night in order to avoid frightening the village where its inventor lives. To comply with road laws, it has its own license plates, headlights, and taillights. Stewart hopes the demand from carnivals alone will keep him in orders for years. And then there's a grand opera, and one scene of Aida calls for a number of elephants. Why, Stewart says, I'll bet I'll sell 500 of them in America alone. In Cleveland, detectives have killed a taxicab driver, put 6 men in jail, and are hunting an ex-Marine officer in an attempt to solve a bank holdup. The detectives went into quick action after 3 men robbed the Superior Savings and Loan Company of $38,000 yesterday. First, they arrested another cab driver and his buddy. This led them to the home of a third man, John Hucks, a former Marine lieutenant. Hucks was not at home, but detectives found more than $7,000 in bills there. Early this morning, detectives thought Hucks was returning when a car stopped in front of his house and 3 men got out. One man, cab driver Lewis Haddad, was killed when he refused to surrender. The detectives took the other 2 men to the police station, where they joined 4 others already behind bars. Police say 2 of the 6 jailed men have been identified as taking part in the bank holdup. Now the police are trying to discover the missing $30,000. And there's a warning from the Indianapolis Health Department today. Don't burn up battery cases in the stove. 2 families sharing a home in Indianapolis tried it recently. They were unable to get any coal, they said, so they put some battery cases in the living room stove for fuel. 2 young children died and 2 became seriously ill as a result of lead poisoning. They had come in contact with the ashes. This prompted the city health director to warn that burning battery cases for fuel is inviting disaster. More rain is falling in Indiana and Illinois, and more floods are threatened. Indiana's biggest river, the Wabash, is overflowing farmlands and highways, and is expected to crest late tonight or early Friday. And the residents of Vincennes have been told it will not be as high as has been expected. Army engineers say they can cope with a 30-foot crest there. However, the flood danger appears to be rising in Hazleton, 14 miles south of Vincennes. Elsewhere, thousands of acres of farmland are underwater and some highways are blockaded. However, in Cincinnati, the Ohio River is receding. And now for the weather in other parts of the country. Rain in general from central Texas to the lower Ohio Valley and is spreading northward to the flood region. Mild weather is in prospect for most of the Midwest, but more cold is on the way. The icy air is expected to reach the north-central region by tonight or tomorrow. Snow continues to fall from Seattle to Medford, Oregon, and rain has fallen in the San Francisco area and also in San Diego. In the east, New England and North Atlantic states are being cooled by cold air from the central states. This is Waterless Thursday in New York, but the people are not very enthusiastic about it. During the first 2 peak hours this morning, residents used millions more gallons of water than in the first dry day last December 16th. When city officials announced the second try at more rigid water saving, they urged New Yorkers not to bath or shave and to save water in every possible way. But so far, the residents have not been very responsive. And that's the latest news up to this time, compiled from the Associated Press, and presented every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday by the Kimball Tire Company at 283 Lower Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo. For further details, read today's copy of the San Luis Obispo Telegram Tribune. Carl Brindle reporting, and this is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.